The first principle is to seek God's will in every situation. Your marriage, business, relationships, needs, yes, in every situation, seek the Lord, and He will be found to your delight. A woman was working in her vegetable garden, preparing the soil and planting the seeds, when suddenly she realized her wedding ring was gone. It must have slipped off while she worked, and it must have fallen into the newly tilled dirt. She searched diligently and long, but the ring could not be found. With deep regret, she ceased her search and shared the sad news with her husband. The weeks passed with the changing season, and finally the vegetables had grown to sufficient size to be harvested. The woman went into the garden to pull fresh carrots, and can you imagine her delight when she discovered one of the carrots had grown through her ring, so the ring was firmly fixed when she pulled the carrot. Now that's a true story, even though it sounds like a believe it or not, and it illustrates a point I want to make as we consider further the subject of yielding to God. In the midst of an appeal for Christian morality, recorded in Romans chapter 6, is a statement, one of the most refreshing statements to be found in Holy Scripture. It is verse 14 and reads, "Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." You see, it is upon that truth that I base the statement, yielding to God means you yield all your situations to Him. Now, when the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you, the principle is true in all situations of life. It does not mean that sin shall not have dominion over you while you are at church or while you are in prayer. It means sin shall not have dominion over you in any situation. But some of our situations are difficult to handle. Some of them present opportunities for sin. Some are pleasant and some are unpleasant. Some are difficult and some are easy. But the text says that sin is not to have dominion over you in any situation. So we wonder, how can we live free from sin in all situations? Well, let us seek an answer to that question for the good of our souls. First, I suggest sin will not have dominion over you in any situation when you seek God's will first in all things. Life is not directed by what you desire, but by what God desires for you. So keep on asking, "Lord, what should I do in this situation?" And He will keep giving you the victory. Seek God in your marriage. Ask Him whether you should marry, when you should marry, and whom you should marry. Do not enter a marriage contract until you are sure that everything about your marriage is approved of God. Now, in some cases, that will cause temporary heartbreak, but it will bring ultimate benefits and joy beyond measure. God has a person whom He would approve for you to marry, and the devil has a person he prefers for you to marry. If you marry outside of God's approval, be assured trouble is ahead. Many broken homes and broken hearts today are because a person married without consulting the will of God in the matter. Seek God's will in your relationships. Whom should you cultivate as a friend? Whose lifestyle should you share? How do you restore a broken relationship? How can you bring God into your human relationships to sanctify them and thus to make you a blessing to your associates? God warns us against being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that applies to marriage, but it applies also to other relationships which influence the direction of your life. The Bible warns that evil company corrupts good manners, and you cannot please God while you are united in relationships which displease God. There can be no fellowship of righteousness with unrighteousness, no communion of light with darkness, no concord between Christ and Belial, no part of a believer with an infidel, no agreement of the temple of God with idols. So God commands us, "Come out from among them and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters." I say further, yield your physical needs to God. Jesus said He already knows what you have need, and like a loving father, He will provide those things you need. He provided food and water for ancient Israel as she traveled through the desert from Egypt to Canaan, and he will provide for you also. Ask him by what means, that is, through what employment on your part, he plans to provide your needs. And as he shows you, follow in that way. The first principle, therefore, is to seek God's will in every situation. Your marriage, your business, your relationships, your needs. Yes, in every situation, seek the Lord, and he will be found to your delight. The second principle is this. Having sought God's will, follow his will. Now, if that sounds too elementary to you, I would remind you that it's very easy to know and not to do. And knowing without doing is never acceptable to God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 warns us that service is not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now, eye service means to render only external service while the employer is watching with the idea of currying favor with him. But service is to be rendered from the heart. That is, because one wants to render it. It is to be done with goodwill, doing service willingly and cheerfully and heartily, a veritable slavery of love, knowing that all service is done to the Lord. Someone has suggested real commitment to God is like signing your name at the bottom of the contract before God writes in the terms up above. Or it is saying, the answer is yes, Lord. Now, what is your question? It is a willingness to obey God in every time, every occasion, every duty to every person. I suggest that people awake in the morning and make their first thoughts of the day thoughts of the Lord Jesus. Before you speak to any other person, you say to him, good morning, Jesus. I love you. I don't know what this day holds, but I know you're perfectly capable of handling it. And so I thank you in advance for what you will be doing in my life today. Then you go out to the affairs of the day and share your life with God. When something good happens, you look up to him and say, thanks. And when something bad happens, you look up to him and say, help. And so all of life is related to him, to his sufficiency, to his involvement in your affairs. And that's what I mean when I say, yield your situations, the things about you, to God. That is normal Christian living. Now be assured that God has a will for your life. Know of a certainty that you can know his will for your life. You can. More than that, you can do all that he wills for your life. Even further, you can enjoy doing his will when you do it from your heart. He who knows and plans the end from the beginning, who knows when even a bird falls in the forest, is certainly concerned about you and your affairs. So, whatever his will might be for your life, it's the best possible thing that could happen to you. Follow his will and experience it for yourself. What temptation seems impossible for you to overcome? What relationship needs to be sanctified by God's intervention? What service must be enabled by God's power because it's beyond you? Bring God into your situations and yield them to God. Father, we want to place in your hands all of our relationships, our choices, our needs, and our possibilities. Such a relief to turn them to you, knowing you're both capable and willing to handle them. And so we thank you for undertaking on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.